Now let's begin with chapter 5. So in this chapter, we will try to understand what is owned media. Okay. So an owned media is basically, any content or any channel, you know, that you create and control yourself. Right. Let's understand this with the help of an example. So for example, let's say you as an advertiser want to advertise on TV, for example. Okay, let's say Sony TV, you want to put your spots on. Then the thing that you can, that you do is that you place your spots on Sony and that's about it, right? You do not have any control over whether that spot will be played or not, right? You do not have any control over you know, what is the kind of viewership that you will get, etc. So this is a paid form of media wherein you don't have any control on. On the other hand, the owned media, like for example your website, right, which you create for yourself, so you can use it the way you want it. You have a direct control over that asset, right? So that is essentially what an owned media is, right? So in owned media, you basically have the control over the content or the channel, that you create. Now, examples of owned media could be the website, which we just mentioned. It could also be the social handles that you have, the handles that you have on social media. They could be sponsorship and many more things, right, which we will see going forward. Now there are 5 types of owned media. First one is product placement, then there is brand integration, there's brand website, sponsorship, and lastly influencer marketing, which is emerging and gaining a lot of traction. So we will cover each of them in the next slides. Now, what is a product placement, right? We'll start with product placement. What is a product placement? So product placement essentially means that placement of the product or a brand, okay? Placement of a product or a brand or a service in between the content, such that it flows kind of naturally to the narrative of that content, okay? We often call this as an embedded strategy, embedded marketing strategy. Product placement, basically, few other definitions is that, it's basically a form of advertising in which a brand or a good or service, that are featured in a production that targets a large audience. I mean, this production could be a movie, it could be a TV show, could be a radio program, or any live performance. Basically, placing a product or a service, or a brand in between a content, so that it appears that that integration or that placement is kind of natural to the narrative of that content, right? So that's what the product placement is about. Now, some examples, and you probably would also be aware of such examples, let's consider a couple of international examples first. So in a movie, Mission Impossible, which is the lead actor here is Tom Cruise, right? So whenever Tom Cruise is riding a vehicle, right, whenever he is chasing someone or he is moving to get certain things done, you can almost always expect that blue, white and black logo of BMW. He'll always drive a BMW in Mission Impossible. So BMW in this case has chosen to put BMW brand or a BMW logo in this movie as a product placement. Similar example of such product placement is Aston Martin. So take any James Bond movie, right from the starting, Aston Martin has always associated itself with James Bond movies, right? So whenever James Bond is driving, it has to be an Aston Martin. But why do this, right? I mean, it's a very indirect form of advertising, but this kind of creates an aspiration for the brand, right? So for example, when let's say Tom Cruise in a movie Risky Business, he walks wearing the Ray-Ban glasses, right? That's where the positive things about positive aspirations about the brand, they kind of get propagated to consumer. Anyone who's watching the movie would probably would feel like, you know, Tom Cruise when they're wearing the Ray-Ban glasses. So that kind of creates an aspiration, a positive perception about the brand, and that's why product placements are very important, right? However, product placements are not as frequent, they don't happen that frequently because, you know, they don't happen that frequently. You know, certain examples from you know, Indian context for product placement are you know, in the movie Zindagi Na Milegi, in the movie Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara, whenever where there's a scene wherein, you know, Hrithik Roshan and the other actors, you know, they're about to skydive. There's an association of, they drink Mountain Dew. So that's an association that Mountain Dew has tried to create, that, you know, Dar ke aage jeet hai, is what their tagline is, right, with that movie. So it kind of flows in very naturally. Again, in a movie, Ye Jawani Hai Diwani, Make My Trip has associated itself very well through that movie. In movie Hera Feri, very popular movie, you know, we've seen Domino's delivering the order. So such product placements, you know, such relevant product placements can actually accentuate the presence of your brand and the perception about your brand. Now, growth, whenever we do a product placement, the growth of that brand, you know, may be attributed towards that product placement. However, the challenge is that it cannot be measured directly. Like, you cannot say that, you know, we will place our product in a movie and then we will expect an uplift in the sale. That may happen in a longer run, but the attribution is very vague. You cannot directly measure it. Now the placements created, so one of the good practices of doing a product placement is that, you know, wherever these product placements are created, we have to create those product placements, where we have to put those product placements so that it flows very naturally with the narrative of that content. Otherwise, it feels jarring, and, you know, it won't do justice even to the content and also to the association that we are having, right? So again, let's say if there's a scene in a movie or a TV series wherein, you know, the lead actor or, you know, someone is actually trying to open up a detergent box, instead of a generic detergent box, we can actually place a Tide or Surf, anything like that, right? So that kind of happens very naturally. I mean, it doesn't appear jarring even to the audience or the viewer. So for product placement, narrative is very, very important. Now, there are certain advantages and disadvantages. One such advantage is that, you know, the impact is happening very, very organically, right? It's happening very subtly, so it doesn't feel like an advertised effort, right? Secondly, the costs are relatively low compared to the mainline advertising. Obviously, the impact is also, you know, limited, and attribution has to be seen in a longer term. It cannot, some success of that activity cannot happen like directly. So the costs are also lower. Disadvantages is that appropriateness, like if the product placement is not happening in a natural way, then, you know, it will appear jarring and it won't do justice to the to either the content or the product or the association itself, right? Secondly, you know, the product placements, they happen in isolation. I mean, this one-off instance that comes probably in a movie or a TV series, and then it just goes off, right? So that association is very isolated. That activity is quite isolated. So these are like the advantages and disadvantages of product placement. Now we will move on to brand integration, right? More common thing than a product placement is an extension. This is basically an extension of a product placement is a brand integration, and it has been gaining prominence, right? So it's basically integrating a brand or a service and its narrative as well in content. Okay, so it's not just the logo or that product, it is also along with that product or a logo, the narrative, what the brand wants to say or what the brand wants to convey gets captured through brand integration, right? So if we have to define it, a brand integration is basically an extension of a product placement. It is also called content integration. Now like we were saying, it's not passive like the product placement. It is more active. You have more you have control over it, but you also try to integrate it with the content, right? Let's just understand this with the help of an example. So consider there's a reality show that's happening on television, okay? We'll basically through this example we'll try to understand the difference between product placement and brand integration. Let's say a reality show is happening, it's let's say Dance India Dance is happening out there, and let's say there's an association of we've put a detergent brand out there, but firstly, it's irrelevant to put a detergent brand there. Secondly, even if you put it, right, it's just the logo or that product that people see. On the other hand, what a brand integration does for us is that, there could actually be a narrative that can be created for us as an advertiser. So for example, a contestant might, while eating something, drop something on some food on their clothes, and the host of that show can actually walk up to that participant saying that you don't have to worry about it, because you don't have to worry that you're going to get a bashing from your mother, because we have tied for this, right? So such content can also be created, which is an accentuation of product placement, which is called brand integration. Now for brand integration, the advantages is that the customization, like we just understood with the help of an example, like we can create a customized content just to convey the narrative of our brand, right? We can create relevant situations, right, in that content to explain benefits of our product. So these are the advantages of content integration. Certain disadvantages is that whenever audiences are looking at the show, they are interested in the actual content of the show and not the brand integration. So sometimes it can be an annoyance to the audiences. Again, similar to product placement, measurement is a challenge. Like you cannot say that we did this activity, we did this brand integration, and it should result into certain output like increase in sales, etc. That may happen in the longer run, but not very immediately, right? Then comes the brand website, which is probably the most obvious own form of media and strongest when it comes to having the control of that asset, right? So a website nowadays has become a must for all the brands, right? However, however must it is, use cases for website are different. So for example, let's say Amul.com. Now Amul.com, if me as a consumer, I want to, let's say, buy an ice cream or a milk, right? I would probably go to, a quick commerce app like Big Basket or Swiggy, Instamart, right? I can go and buy that. I don't need Amul.com for that. However, the purpose that Amul.com can serve is that other information, other augmented information can come from Amul. .coms, such as creating different recipes, etc. So such things. So while website is must, its use cases are different. So in case of Amul, we have seen that probably their website is not meant for direct sale to happen, but to give additional information to its consumer. On the other hand, a website like, let's say, boat.com, right, the headphones, headphone company, you actually can go and buy products from boat.com. So that is meant for direct sale to happen. Then, if we take an example of, let's say, lenovo.com, probably lenovo.com will enable, B2B or business to business inquiries. Like, for example, an organization wants to buy, let's say, 100 laptops for their company. They can connect to the relevant person of Lenovo over, through that website, right? So while website is must, each of these websites serve a different purpose. So this is an example of Amul.com, wherein we can see that, it doesn't talk about sale, but it talks about all other things, like there could be recipes, there could be other communication, other internal communication of Amul. It can also be used for, creating awareness about, frozen dessert versus, actual ice cream. Right, so basically bursting myths about frozen dessert, etc. So different purposes, but websites are must, and they serve different purposes. Similarly, this is another example of Dettol.com. like, again, if I'm buying a Dettol, I probably won't go to Dettol.com and buy Dettol from there. However, on Dettol's website, there could be several important topics that can be addressed, such as, importance of hand washing, tips for, nurturing your baby's health, maintaining kitchen hygiene. There could also be an expert advice section on the website, that can provide information how to clean the air conditioners, promoting, healthy habits in schools. Such things can be there on Dettol.com website, which we can see here. Third such example is Rexona.com. Now again, probably I will be able to buy Rexona, but that is not intended. On Rexona, what content there can be is about maintaining how to stay hygienic. It can offer answers to questions like, what is sweat, how to stop it. On actual Rexona website, there's also a section called Rexona Confidence Academy, wherein they, guide people or give tips to people to kind of stay, overall improve their grooming, right? So in this context, if, let's say, Rexona wants to do a brand awareness campaign, okay, probably website is not a great place for people to land onto. But if they're creating an awareness campaign around, grooming, etc., then, people can actually be led to this website, wherein they will find relevant content, right? So certain advantages and disadvantages of a brand website. This is basically an extended communication to what you are communicating through external channels. This obviously comes at a very low cost, because you directly control it. Disadvantages is that, there's limited or selected audiences that visit the website, and there could also be a weaker association with the goals. Like, your marketing goal could be something different, and website could actually be used for a different purpose. So, having said that, website is very important. Then comes sponsorship. Now, sponsorship is basically, paying an organization or an external organization a fee to basically put a company's brand name or logo as a head of event for that event, right? So it is not just logo, sponsorship is not just logo, but there are many other things that come along with sponsorship. So, if we have to take an example of, let's say, Tata IPL. Now, when Tata associated with IPL, right? Obviously, the first thing that they get is the name Tata IPL, right? So that name is coming in front of the event, which is IPL. So that's Tata IPL, right? There's a logo that they get in all the communication around IPL, right? But that's not about it. There's an on-ground presence or on-ground benefits that Tata gets. So, for example, in IPL 2023, they chose IPL 2023 to promote their Tiago EV. So, all across the ground, apart from the branding, we also saw that there was actual Tiago EV that was present there, right? So that's an added benefit, but that's not it, because it's a sponsorship. They also, can get a certain free commercial time to put their ads on TV as well, right? So there are multiple things which you get as a part of sponsorship, and obviously because of that, sponsorship is very, very expensive. Now, another example of sponsorship is that, last Qatar World Cup, the Football World Cup, it was sponsored by Coca-Cola. So in all the communication that goes around, right, Coca-Cola logo would be there throughout, right? This is just an example of that. So whatever communication that you will see from FIFA World Cup, there will be Coca-Cola in that communication. This is another such example wherein Indian Oil had sponsored the Ultimate Table Tennis Champion League. And also the sponsorship doesn't have to be at a very big scope, right, or a big level. It can also be local. So, for example, this Pune Ranbhumi Marathon, right? This was sponsored by Puneet Balan Group, which is a very local group, and the event was also quite local, right? The reach probably would be lesser, but this is again a sponsored event, right? Now, certain disadvantages of sponsorship, advantages of sponsorship is that the engagement with the consumer is kind of direct because it happens in the surrounding to the consumer. Then there is enhanced brand image and partnership that we can expect out of a sponsorship. Certain disadvantages is that there could be sponsor mismatch. So we've seen in the last slides that there are multiple sponsors, right? So multiple sponsors can come together. And when there are multiple sponsors, there could be a sponsor mismatch as well. The measurement is again not very defined. It's quite vague. We cannot gauge a direct impact of a sponsorship. Now, the last part is influencer marketing, but this is the most critical part of all, and this is growing extremely well in demand as well. The impact of influencer marketing is huge. Now, basically, what influencer marketing means is that it's basically a form of social media marketing, but here the products are actually endorsed by the experts in that particular field. So, for example, if it's a beauty product, brand can actually choose some influencers existing influencers on, let's say, Instagram, who actually talk about these beauty products and all, right? So the brand in that case can associate with these beauty influencers, and then they can help market their products better. So that's basically influencer marketing. Now, an example of influencer marketing for Lux is that for Lux, the brand ambassadors, right, they are actually Virat Kohli and Anushka Sharma, However, those are the overall brand ambassadors for the brand. Despite having such a huge brand ambassadors, brands often, like brands like Lux, often turn to influencers to kind of propagate their product. So for example, this is an example wherein, you know, one of the beauty influencer named Ashna Shroff, you know, she has actually made, you know, carefully crafted this photo and posted it on her profile. She has, probably has like a million followers on her Instagram account. Now what it essentially does is that, you know, for example, Virat Kohli and Anushka Sharma are probably too distant for me. Like, I know that like they are of a very, very big league, right? However, a person that I'm following on Instagram, right, I can relate to that person in a much better way, right? So that's where the relevance is there. That's where the impact happens, and that's why, you know, brands choose to, you know, despite doing the regular ad campaigns, they also accentuate their promotion through influencer advertising. This is another example wherein Ritu Rajput, who is again a beauty influencer, has, you know, promoted Lux, some lavender products of Lux that she has promoted, because the people who follow her would relate to that better and probably would want to try. Now, limitations the advantages to influencer marketing is that basically it helps, you know, establishing the credibility and trust because of the relatability, right? When I am following a certain person, I kind of think that that person has credibility. If he or she is, you know, promoting a product, then credibility and trust comes along with that. This cost effectiveness also, compared to the mainline advertising, you know, the costs are lesser when it comes to influencer marketing. Now, it also has, ability to attract quality leads. So now brands just don't want to, you know, create an awareness about the product. Brand would also want people to see their ad and take an action of buying that product. Now, in this case, what can happen? For example, it's a hypothetical example. Now, in case of Lux that we have seen, there could be, so the example that we saw was not soaps, it was about some luxury collection of soaps. So it is definitely going to be slightly expensive, right? So Ashna Shroff had posted that video, that image on her Instagram account, right? It was, it created an awareness. Firstly, it created an awareness about the product. But the next leg to that could also be that Ashna Shroff can write that, you know, use this code called Ashna 10% off, for example, and you can actually claim that discount on, let's say, Amazon or Flipkart. So that then also, you know, instigates or induces trials for the brand, right? So we are not only talking about mere awareness, but we are also trying to, you know, convert that person, that consumer into sales, right? So this is an additional ability of influencer marketing. There are certain disadvantages too, that, you know, you can try to control the narrative, what an influencer wants to say, but then there are certain guidelines from, you know, advertising community that influencers cannot really post anything that they would like, right? So there's a little bit of less control when it comes to that. And then there are certain influencers which probably are, you know, dishonest to consumers. Like, you know, they probably would not buy Lux in their real lives, but, you know, they are promoting it. So whenever people feel that, then automatically there's distrust that comes with it. So these were basically five different types of owned media. In the next chapter, we will see the earned media. Thank you.